What would we do without you? This show would be so boring. I mean, even with you, it's pretty boring. All right. So, I wanted to start off with a couple ha'aros about the melacha in general, and then we'll start getting into the nitty-gritty. Starting with the question of what is the definition of the melacha of Lisha? So at first I thought maybe Lisha and Disha are opposites. Namely, Disha, we saw the Rambam define in the broadest sense as taking one thing and making it into many. And Lisha is perhaps the reverse, taking many things. Yes, Tochen, thank you. Lisha and Disha sound better, but it's actually Tochen. And Lisha is taking many things and making them into one thing, into a single unit. Now, if that's true, or regardless, assuming for the moment that that Lush is about taking things and making them into a single unit,
there
so one
need for liquid.
What?
According to this definition, there should be no need for liquid.
There'd be no
need for liquid, like a liquid.
Oh,
substance?
Exactly. So an interesting question is exactly that. We'll get there in one moment, actually. But let's talk about it. Another one question would be, to what degree do you need it to be a single unit? Meaning to say, what about in a case where it's not even consistency throughout, right? In the case of a dough, it really is one unit. You mix flour and water, and you have a dough. But what about a case where it's not even consistency? Now, this might relate to the Machlokas Rishonim about Morsan, for example. As we'll see shortly, the Rambam says there's no Chiyuv Daraisa for Morsan. Other Rishonim say there's the Shpitz Chiyuv Daraisa for Morsan. There certainly is some level of Daraisa for Morsan, because Morsan doesn't necessarily become a fully integrated unit. Likewise, this might relate to the Machlokas HaPoskim that we'll talk about a little bit later, whether you could have Lisha Daraisa for something like relish or the like. Where the ugurkis that the Mishnah Berurah talks about, which I imagine is relish. So the question there is a similar one. In other words, it doesn't become even where it's a blila abba, it doesn't really become a single integrated unit. The parts are still distinct to some degree, the little pickles and the relish or the like. So that's going to be an important question. Now, another variation of that question is exactly what you brought up, which is, do you need to something else to combine them into its single unit? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, it's on the Shin Chaf Aleph Sef Tezvav, says that it's only Shayach Lisha if you use some type of external medium to combine the various things, like water or oil or the like. The Prima Gadim over there disagrees. The Prima Gadim says, they're talking about mustard. Let's say chardal is nilush al yedei tamtzis lachusa. Is that considered lisha or not?
I mean, is that really such a fundamental machlokas so much the mitzvahs?
We'll get to the detail. Now I'm just wondering, I'm saying maybe that's exactly what they're arguing about, right? If it's about creating, the more you emphasize that it's about creating a single unit, the more, or if you want to put it the way we were saying before, the opposite of tochein, so then perhaps the more the pshat of the melacha is going to be that you need something else to combine this into a single unit. Now, as I said, the Prima Gadim says you could be shayach even betamtzis lachusa, and that's because he could say that you don't need something else, or perhaps he says no, that the tamtzis lachusa is like something else. In other words, I don't know when I first crush the mustard seed, I do tochen on the mustard, and then the liquid is released, and then I use that liquid to reintegrate the pulp into a something like mustard. So it could be that that's good enough. In other words, he agrees you need something else, but this it could be coming from itself. Or no, he's saying it has nothing to do with that. Lamashal, I'll give you a more practical example of this. Let's say you have peanut butter that separates and the oil's on top, right? You get the natural peanut butter. So natural peanut butter, what naturally happens in peanut butter is the peanut pulp sinks to the bottom and the oil floats to the top. So can you mix it back up together? According to the Bir Halacha, it's Pashut that's going to be Mutter, because I'm assuming for a moment that they don't add oil to peanut butter. It's the natural peanut oil itself. According to Mishnah Berurah L'chor, it's Pashut, it's Mutter. According to Prima Gadim, Yesh L'Stapik, according to Prima Gadim, maybe it would be Aser, just like he says in the case of mustard, or maybe he would say something like Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. Since this peanut butter was Milosh already, when you made it the first time, you crushed the peanuts, and there was, again, peanut pulp and oil, and you mixed that together, the Prima Gadim would say that's Lisha. But if they subsequently separate, maybe Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. The Taz talks about Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. Taz says, in Sifkan Yud Aleph at least, that you're chayiv if you mix matzah meal with oil or grape juice or something like that. But it could be that's like a different, that's panim chadash balakhan, when you take the matzah and turn it into meal. It's recreating flour. So anyway, so I think it's a suffix for the Prima Gadim. I happen to see that the Dirshu Notes 101 says it's mutter. Lemais, it's mutter. But it's an interesting question. Again, it's Pashat Lachar, it should be mutter according to Mishnah Berurah. More of an interesting question would be according to the Prima Gadim. Now, so all that is assuming, the question to what degree we define Lisha as merging multiple components to form a single unit. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe, again, we have the relish shayla, we have the peanut butter shayla. All that is what I thought seemed like a reasonable definition of the melacha, maybe a possibility. The definition of the melacha is what is, again, fusing disparate parts, until I saw the Yerushalmi, this Yerushalmi I saw because it's quoted by the Bir Halacha, who says that halash va'orech va'mekatev chayv mishon lash. Again, you want to see the Bir Halacha, it's in Sif Yudala Dibmaschal Ein. In other words, over here, what did you do? L'chara, even if before Shabbos you had a dough, it was fully kneaded, but now you form the loaves. That's a chiv of Lisha. Now, it might be that Yerushalmi is assuming that by improving the dough, that's a chiv mishum lash. But by definition, so you could define the lash as improving dough, or dough creation, and therefore you're chayav for all stages in dough creation. As Yeshua pointed out, it's not limited to, presumably, to dough of bread, simply. It also would be the samimanim. That's, if you assume like Rashi, that's where Elisha Deraisa was in the samimanim in the Mishkan. But one way or the other, that definition, surely, that Yerushalmi surely is not consistent with the idea that the definition of the Malacha is taking disparate parts and making it into one. Because here it's already a fully integrated part. You are working the dough further, you're improving the dough, but you're not further creating a new unit. You're not merging disparate parts. So at the very least, the Yerushalmi, now perhaps we don't paskin like this Yerushalmi, though, as I noted, the Bir Halacha does cite it, that the Yerushalmi does seem to have a different Hagdar the Malacha. So maybe you'll say there's two sort of directions to kavim in the Malacha of Lisha. The Av maybe is kibbutz dvarim nifradim, and there's a tolda of yipui ha'isa. But that would be very strange, right? Mechatesi, that there should be two totally direct, a tolda that really is a very different type, different in terms of that lacks the fundamental definition of the Av. And what's interesting is, as far as I found, and maybe tell me if you found otherwise, but I didn't find that the Rishonim brought this Yerushalmi down. Again, the Bir Halacha does. You found it?
No, but I just had a...
So let me just finish this point then. But again, if we paskin like... Now, this is sort of an interesting question. If we paskin like this Yerushalmi, and we also paskin that Ein Lisha Achar Lisha, and the Mishnah Berurah basically accepted both of those ideas, Ein Lisha Achar Lisha and also the Yerushalmi, so... What's very interesting is that you could do what more of what was already done, but you can't take it to the next step. That is, you can't take it to the next stage. Now, l'chora, that's also against the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chaf Aleph Tes Vav that says that if it was already Nilosh on Erev Shabbos, you could add more water to it, right? You could dilute it. Again, the Prima Gadim says that's even true if it was only Nilosh in itself. In other words, you made the mustard before Shabbos, and now you want to dilute the mustard a little bit, that's okay. And the Mishnah Berurah would say, no, it's only if you made the mustard with whatever other things are in the mustard besides mustard seed. I don't know. You put, before Shabbos, you mixed the mustard with a little bit of vinegar, and you made it. Now you want to dilute it with some more vinegar afterwards. That's going to be mutter. So you see from there that l'chora against the Yerushalmi, right? Because over there you have something that's in a parsha of Lisha, namely mustard, and you're furthering it along the process, namely by diluting it with more mustard, more vinegar, let's say, and still that's even mutter. Yeah. So why? Because, but even though you're taking it to the next step,
maybe it's the same step.
You're just recreating what was before.
You just add more vinegar.
Why is that different than further working the dough? Further working the dough, I would assume.
It's being closer to being baked.
Here, it's being closer to being eaten. This mustard was 90% finished before Shabbos. Yeah. Now I have to add a little more vinegar to make it 100% finished. That's mutter, because Elisha already took place before Shabbos. Whereas this dough was 90% finished before Shabbos, and now I work it a little more, or I do furthering it along the process, and that's chayv. So it's quite interesting that the Bir Halacha, right, is willing to accept this Yerushalmi Lahalacha, but still say that you're allowed to add the vinegar to the mustard. I imagine he's going to say that the difference is one is diluting. In other words, diluting, adding the vinegar to the mustard is diluting it. It's the opposite of Lisha. You're taking it from something that's more of a paste or to something that's less of a paste. Bir Halacha sounds like something like that in Sifkat and in Sifta Tesvav. So on the one hand, what's very fascinating is, again, the Pashup Shot, I would have said, from the Bavli and the Rishonim, is that the whole definition of the Malacha is just merging together the parts and creating a single unit. We have the Bir Halacha cites Yushalmi and thinks we accept that, which implies that furthering along the process of bread making is Asar. And then I would have thought that diluting the mustard should also be Asar. He says diluting the mustard is mutter, and that's because we're going to go back to sort of the fundamental definition of the Malacha and say, since diluting is the opposite of Lisha, it's going to be mutter. Now, maybe we should question this whole definition of the Malacha. Again, I said the definition of the Malacha, maybe the simple Pashup Shot, is about merging these different things. But if that's true, then Blila Raka should be chayev. Right? What's blila raka? Let's say a pancake batter or cake batter or the like, right? Any type of dough that pours. That's the way the Chazon Ish defines it. So the Gemara says, implies at the very least, and the Ran, Shita L'Ran, as well as other Rishonim say explicitly, that there's no Isser D'Oraisa for blila raka. That's why, as we'll see a little later, even if you hold that generally speaking Nesinas Maim is mutter, but a shinoi in the Nesinas Maim for Blila Raka, but not Ava is mutter. So Blila Raka is only Neser de Rabbana. Now, with respect to merging disparate units into a single thing, there should be no difference between Ava and Raka, right? When I make pancake batter, I mix my flour with my water. So the flour and the water merge to form a single unit. And yet there's no Isser D'Oraisa. So what do you see? You see then, maybe, even according to the Bavli, the definition of the Malacha isn't just combining separate things, but rather it's Asiyas Isa. And a Blila Raka isn't Isa, so therefore there's no Chiyuv. Might be still Asher Midrabanan, but there's no Chiyuv. Now, if that's true, so then maybe actually the Bavli is closer to the Yerushalmi. Whether or not you're going to say it's going to go as far as Yerushalmi, I don't know. But once you see that the Bavli says that a blila raka is not chayev. So then that maybe supports the other definition, the malacha. The definition of malacha isn't merging disparate units, it's creating isa. And therefore, A, blila raka is pater, and conceivably B, aricha and the like would be chayev. Now, to add to that a little bit, everybody's going to agree that the definition of the malacha surely not just combining separate things, right? For example, I think everybody would agree that it's mutter to make coffee or tea with sugar or the like, even though you're combining things to form a single unit, right? It's not just like blila raka, which we say is not chayv deraisa. That's not even aser at all midrabanan. Even though, again, I'm taking these little particles, whatever they are, the coffee particles or the sugar particles or the like, and I'm making it into a single unit. I'm merging them. Hot cocoa, other things like that. So what's the pshat? So again, all that indicates is that we shouldn't really define the malacha as merging units, but rather asiyas isa. Or now, asiyas isa is an act of merging units, but it's a specific type of merging units, and not anything that is simply merging units would qualify as lisha. Okay, Aaron.
I thought the Yerushalmi works very well with Rebbe's Shita and the Rambam, who holds like Reb Yossi.
Why is the Yerushalmi better for Rebbe?
Because he just needs a progression, Misinas Mayim, even though it's not such a stark a blend.
Okay, but I think we'll talk about that in a moment, but I would assume that there's still some blending, right? In other words, everybody would agree that if Nesinas Mayim doesn't cause some type of blending, or either merging of the ingredients, if you want to follow that direction definition, or creation of dough, if you follow that direction, then everybody would agree that it's mutter.
I don't think it's as it's not as literal as the Yerushalmi, but that hashkafa of improvement of the
that's one. Well, we'll talk about it. That's one way you could look at it. But all I'm pointing out is that
it's not the Yerushalmi.
Well, no, but it also might not even be the Bavli, because there is at least a partial merger. Yeah. Okay, now spent a lot of time talking about the Rashba and the heter of samach l'achila for the malacha of tochein. Could there possibly be a heter of samach l'achila for lisha? So I would have thought, maishna. In other words, once you're going to say it's not a local borer halacha, but it's a broader principle, so why stop at tochein? Why not go on to lush? However, the Magen Avraham, Shin Chaf Aleph, Sifkan Chaf Dalet, and Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Samach Vav, say that this is not true. They don't tell you why, but they say nobody would hold, Rashba included, that there's a Heter Samach. Now, perhaps they understood that the Rashba is talking about something which are sometimes done at the table as part of achila. Now, there's a reason why there's a heter of borer miad, is because borer is sometimes done as part of the process of achila. Not always. Sometimes done in the kitchen, sometimes done in the factory, but it's sometimes done as part of achila. Normal eating involves borer. And likewise, normal eating sometimes involves tochein, because who says you have to eat your pieces, your food in big pieces, like the Rashba says. Maybe you could eat your food in little pieces. But perhaps what they're assuming is that lisha is never part of normal eating process. In other words, you don't do lisha at the table. I'm sure you could come up with a case where maybe you would, but no, because you make chumas before you serve it.
But the chumas in tchina, if you like.
I don't think, right. So, okay, I as I said, I'm sure you could come up with cases. In my life, I've never I come to the table with like hummus without tchina, because you always put in tchina at the beginning.
Right, you pour in tchina in the middle thing in the
no, but that's already made. That's like lisha har lisha. You're just adding. In other words, you already put in some tchina into your hummus when you made it the first time. Yeah. Hummus without tchina is very at all. Anyway, as I'm no doubt. I'm saying this knowing whether that's a good example or not, that I'm sure somebody's going to come up with
oatmeal.
No, you don't make oatmeal at the table.
You pour the hot water in your bowl.
That is not the way you make oatmeal. Now, anyway, as I said, I don't want to argue these fine points because I'm sure you'll come up with some. I'm just saying, why does the Magen Avraham take for granted? What would be the difference? So again, I imagine that typically it's normal to have boer and tochein and the like as part of eating. Like I said, on the table. And Lisha, it's highly abnormal, perhaps never, perhaps sometimes. And that's why they see this fundamentally as a different type of melacha. Now, I was thinking also, and maybe this is in a certain sense the opposite point, but it relates to a different question, which is just sort of putting this melacha in the context of all the other melachos as we've been dealing with so far in the Sidur Depas. What about the heter of La Gidulei Karka? Would anyone say that applies to Lisha? So, right, again, we've had several debates on this question until now. We most recently discussed it with respect to Tochein, that at least some Rishonim, and we either fully or partially accept this Lahalacha, hold that there's no tchina when it's lav gidulei karka, so maybe we should say the same thing by lush. So first you'll say, of course not, because the Gemara is clear that it's shayach lisha d'oraisa by mud, right, in the case of afar. But we have that same problem with tochein, right, because we know that with dirt, let's say you want dirt for kisri adam, the Gemara says, that also involved, that would be a violation of tochein. So we had various answers. My favorite was the Igle Tal, that karka is gidule karka. But the answers that you could give for that, you could give for here as well. So that's not going to be a decisive proof. I saw, however, of Moshe Feinstein in Shuvos Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet of Or Chaim Simen Ayin Dalet, says it's pashut that there is a violation of lisha for la gidule karka. His example is, let's say, making chopped liver or the like. Let's say you wanted to pour in some oil or egg salad or other things like that, tuna fish salad, cases that are non-gidulei karka. There is a, you know, we'll have to see if there's a heter way of doing it, but it's a shayla of lisha. We can't just say, oh, it's okay because it's lav gidulei karka. Now, why should it be different? Why should there be any difference? So Moshe says, the chiluk pashut, and he brings raya's from the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara talks about lisha with respect to milk or to honey, whatever. Anyway, let's the raya's are maybe not all. Not sure if they're 100% mochrach, but let's assume that he's right. So what's the difference? The chiluk pashut, the tochein hu mimlechas hakarka. Right? The Gra that we just saw when we did Tochein said, what is the tzad to say that Ein Tchina Ela B'Gidulei Karka? Because it's still a Melachos HaKarka. Lisha Lo Nachshon Melachos HaKarka. So interestingly enough, we've turned, you know, we had this question, how far are you going to take this Melachos HaKarka, right? Are you going to take it all the way till Tochein? Rashba says, Trumas Adeshen, or the Nekilin on that Shaila, according to the Gras, say, yeah, you could push Melechas HaKarka all the way till Tochein, but once you reach Tochein, we're done Melechas HaKarka, we've now moved from the farm to the kitchen, and so, interestingly enough, going back to the 2 points we just said for Tochein, as I said, in a certain sense, it's the opposite one. Tochein can extend to the table. That's what the Rashba says. Therefore, there could be a heter of la'alter. But on the other hand, Lush surely, right? Lush? No, that's not at the table. That belongs in the kitchen. So there's no heter of altar. But at the same time, when it comes to the connection to the farm, where are you going to draw the line over there? Adiraba. The farm, malachos, and with tochein, and certainly Lisha is already a kitchen malacha. So these are some interesting questions, some interesting questions to think about as a hakdamah to the malacha. And now we'll start getting into the Gemaras and the nitty gritty. So the first, the big machlokas, as you all saw, on this malacha, the big question is the dispute between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda about whether you're violating lush by putting the water, or no, it requires actual gibel, right? Rebbe holds echad nosin es hakemach v'echad nosin es hamayim, ha'achron chayev. You don't need gibul. Simply adding the water to the flour is a chiyav mishum lush. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Omer, your eno chayev ach yigabel. So, what are they talking about? Now, I assume, this is what I was alluding to with Aaron a little bit a couple minutes ago, I assume that Rebbe would obviously potter you if putting, adding the water to the flour didn't cause the flour to merge in any sense. It didn't cause any type of debuk. Now that point is very relevant, by the way, Lemaisa. That's why, again, we're going to get to the details of this later, but let's assume for the moment that we are choshesh for Shitas Rebbe, like the Ramah sounds like he says, Sefer HaTruma, and the like. So therefore, when you're dealing with a Blila Ava, you can't do, there's no shinui that's going to work for Nesina Samayim, right? You need, the only time we're going to allow a shinui b'nesina samayim is if it's a blila raka. So let's say, for example, I want to make tuna fish with mayonnaise. Let's assume for a moment that's going to be a blila ava. And so the question is there any possible way to do it on Shabbos? So in terms of the actual gibul, it's very easy. I'll do a shinui b'shas gibul, like a do shasi v'erev, or the like. We'll talk about the details of what shinuyim are needed and the like, but that's an easy problem to solve. Let's say shasi v'erev. But what about putting the mayonnaise on the tuna fish, right? The equivalent of nisina samayim. So l'chora, there should be no etza. But the answer, and I think a number of posts can point this out, is they say, nah, it's not an issue. Why? Because there's no merger, there's no connection between the mayonnaise and the tuna fish until it's mixed. In other words, they remain two discrete identities. It's not like adding water to flour. The reason why Rebbe is mechayev by adding water to flour is when you simply pour the water onto the flour, they start, it's not a very good merger. But to some degree, there's some degree of a fusion, of merging, or the like, right? You have to start worrying about chimots. And that's why Rebbe at least has its sad to be machayev, because maybe we could put it the way Aaron said it before, the process has begun, but the process has begun. In other words, the flour and the water start to begin to form a dough, to fuse, to merge, however you want to put it. Now, if that's true, in other words, if everybody agrees that when you add the water to the flour, they start to become mixed, even though you haven't yet done gibul, so then why should Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda pater, right? Isn't there a merger of flour and water here? So the simplest answer would be to say, yeah, maybe the mechayev for Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda is the gibul. It's not just the merging, but it's the act of gibul. And you can't be chayev, according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, and as we'll see shortly, this is the view of most Rishonim, probably the way we paskin Mikra Adin. According to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, it's not shaykh to be chayv without gibul. It's not just about merging and mixing and the like, it's about gibul. That's the definition of the malacha, or if not the definition, a condition. The condition for the malacha, condition to be chayv, is gibul. That's what I would have thought, first glance, why Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says there's no violation of gibul by adding the water. However, L'chora, that's not correct. Because the Gemara in Zvachim, Tzadi Dalam and Beis, We already talked about this when we did Malchus Arei, I think. Or maybe, I don't remember. One of the early models. Yeah, Zareya. Yeah. So the Gemara in Zachim says that if you put Pishtan together with water, you're chayv mishum lush. Anose in Zara Pishtan Lamayim, you're chayv mishum lush. The Rambam, even though he paskins or Yosef Yudas, paskins this halacha, you're chayv. Sounds like just by merging, you know, by pouring the Pishtan, the Zara Pishtan into the water, you don't do any gibul, you're nevertheless chayev. So clearly, it's not going to be the pshat that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that gibul is by definition part of the malacha. So why, what's the difference? B'chor, the pshat over here is that it happens me'elav. In other words, you pour the water into the zera pishtan and everything happens on its own. The seeds of the pishtan get sticky and they clump together and they form whatever you're trying to form. And therefore, you're chayev. So then, why would he say water onto kamechas pater? I guess because nothing's happening. But if nothing's happening, then why is Rebbe saying you're chayev? So, l'chora, you have to say, okay, something happens, but it's not a lot. And either you'll have to say that the reason why Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says you're pater is because it's not mizdabe kol kach, or perhaps this is a little more compelling, that the very fact that you are still going to need it says that you're not going to be chayv mishum lush. Whereas in the case of the Zara Pishtan Lamayim, you're done. Once I add the water to the Zara Pishtan, whatever needs to be done is done. They mix, they blend, they merge, they fuse, they doughify, and at the end of the day. And this, like I think might be what Aaron was referring to a little bit earlier in terms of the question of the process or not. So Aaron Zustel, that's Yerushalmi. I'm not sure about that, maybe. But one way or the other, it's not the case that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, by definition, requires Gibul. Yes?
But then how could Abaye make sense? There is Rabbi Yehuda would say adding water to...
Let's get to Abaye in a moment. Okay. Let's get to Abaye. Start there right now. We'll read the Gemara. Yeah.
Shouldn't, if the Rambam is Mekil by Lav Mei Gibul, shouldn't that imply that he would hold not like the second option?
Why?
Because if you put...
Rambam says Morison is Matak as Lav Bar Gibul. What does that mean? It means it's not really, there's no integration over here. You don't create a dough,
but
right?
You've done everything you can do.
Yes, but you still didn't make a dough.
It's very medieval in the Rambam, like what Rabbi Wiederblank is saying, because he says, when I put the mime and the zera pishtan, you're going to be chayav mishum lash, mipnei shehi misarvin v'nitzlin zebizah. It's not a board and going to the maximum, whatever. It's about being misarvin v'nitzlin zebizah.
But that's good for what I'm saying. I'm saying the second word seems to be that the machlokes between Rishon and Rebbe is that you're right, you can do more, but
no. But you're only chayev if you could do. You're not chayev. You're chayev if you can't do more. But still, you need to create dough, and things that are non-integrated, like more sun, you haven't created dough. It's not an apart. It's lav bar gibul. Lav bar gibul doesn't mean that lav bar gibul means, according to Rambam, even if you do gibul, you still haven't created anything. Right, lav bar gibul doesn't mean you don't do gibul. I don't know, but you do gibul. That's exactly what you do with water, with morsan. You add water to the morsan and you're megavel.
Of course, so according to the Rambam, even Rebbe would be masking that. That's nothing.
Presumably,
okay.
Or at least we have no reason to say otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start, as Yoshua pointed out. This question will very much relate to the Gemara Daf Yud Ches. So the Gemara Daf Yud Ches, the Mishnah previously had told us that there's a machlokus between Bishami and Beis Hillel if you're allowed to be shore the Dio or the Samimanim from before Shabbos. So this is in the context of the debate between Bishami and Beis Hillel whether or not there's a din of Shvisas Kalim. Beis Hillel says there's no such thing as a violation of Shabbos except if you do a Maisa on Shabbos. So if your Kalim are doing Malacha for you, but it's all set up from before Shabbos, there's no Isser, and therefore there's no problem to be sure I do the Mayim as long as he did it before Shabbos. And Beis Shammai disagrees. He holds that there's an Isser of Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos, and therefore you couldn't be Shardio before Shabbos unless you had you left enough time for the Shriya to be effective before the start of Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, oh, well, you see, everybody, whether it's Beis Shammai, will take for granted that on Shabbos, you surely couldn't be shored yo b'mayim. So the question is why? Mantana nesinas mayim l'dyo zuhi shriyasan. Amar v'yosef, Rabbi, for the first answer, is certainly the simplest answer, this is the view of Rabbi. In other words, shriyas dyo b'mayim is the same thing as putting water on kemach, and therefore Rabbi, who says putting water on kamach is chayev, would also be mechayev for shriyas do. But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, who says eno chayev atigabel b'mayim, would likewise over here have no objection, at least no iser deraisa, if you were going to put the bishar the diyo b'mayim. Amale Abaye, Dilma. So Abaye says this hesitantly, maybe. Adkan lo kam Rabbi Yosi ala b'kamach debar gibol ho. When is it that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is poter that's kamach that's a bar gibol? Avol dio de lav bar gibol ho e malachay. So lav bar gibol here, first of all, clearly at least according to Abaye, doesn't preclude a chi of chatas because e malachay. Right. You could be chayev for something that's lav bar gibol. That's not the question. And not only can you be chayev for the lisha of something that's lav bar gibol, but maybe he would even agree that nesinas hamayim would be sufficient to be mechayev for something that's lav bar gibol. And therefore, this Mishnah in the first parak could be bein le Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, bein le Rabbi. And the Gemara says, lo sal kadaitach, letanya echa nosin es efer, echa nosin es hamayim, achon chayev. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Ajigabel. So Afer is apparently something that's also Lav Bar Gibol Hu. That's going to be important. Is there going to be this? The simple reading of the Gemara does seem to equate Afer and Yo. And that's going to be an interesting question when we get to the Rambam Shita. So what do we see explicitly? That the debate between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabbi applies even for Afer. And Afer is Lav Bar Gibol Hu. So that's a explicit support for Rav Yosef. V'delma my Afer Afar debar gibol hu. No, the words Afer and Afar are apparently interchangeable. Occasionally we use the word Afer when we mean Afar. Vatanya Afer, Vatanya Afar. Clearly they're distinct. Midigalia daditanya. No, maybe not. Two different braisas, and both of them really mean Afar. One just uses the word Afer. And therefore, therefore, at this point, Abaye's position is at least plausible. He's not slugged up. In other words, seemingly the conclusion of this Gemara is that there's a machlokas amarayim of Yosef and Abaye how to read this Mishnah is the Mishnah, and about more generally speaking, would Rabbi Yosef Yehuda be mechayev in Lisha for something that's a lav bar gibol hu. Now, within the view of Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Yehuda, so he potters, let's say, being shayra, the dyo with mayim, or the like, would, or for that matter, putting water on flour. Would he matir it? Is it an iser derabanan at the very least, or maybe it's heter? The reason to assume it would be heter would be because we know that Rav Yosef Yehuda is matir mixing the mayim with the morson. So that's an interesting question. But we assume, and a number of Rishonim say this explicitly, among them the Ritva on Daf Kuf Nun Vamed Aleph, and this is what the Bir Halacha writes as well, in Shin Chav Dalet Sif Aleph, that there is an Isser D'Rabbanan on Asinas Mayim on Kamach and Afar and Tit, why Shamayavo Legabel, or Mekel for Morson, either for the Rambam Shita because it's Lav Bar Gibol, it's not Shaykh to come to Nisr Deraisa, so you're allowed to put water onto something that's not shayach to lisha deraisa, that would be a gzera. But to put water, let's hand flour, which would be a gzera atu nisa deraisa, would be asr midrabanan. According to Tosfos, that it is shayach machiyav deraisa by Morson, you'd have to say that it's a special leniency by Morson, as the Beis Yosef points out, because otherwise your animals won't have what to eat. But everybody might agree that putting water on flour or being shored yo on Shabbos would at the very least be an issur d'rabbanan. Fine. According to Abaye, that would potentially be an issur d'oraisa, certainly by water and yo. Okay. Now, okay, so that's the first sugya. That's the sort of four sugyos that we're going to learn. The second sugya is the one on Daf Kuf Nun Hamad base, which is really a hemshach of this sugya that deals with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you want to make morsan I think is bran, and it was generally speaking used for animal food. That was before they discovered that every healthy person should eat it for breakfast. It was still relegated to animal fodder. Sorry, Eitan. So
like brown bread, same.
Right. Yeah. Low class.
Lechem oni is only a piece.
So anyway, okay. So the question, the Mishnah says basically that imrotzalas is more some of hemos, so nosen and mayim aval lo goflin. So you could add water to this bran, but you can't be megabel the bran. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. So same Abaye as we had in the first Gemara, Daf Yud Ches. Amrisai kamei demar, masnisin mani. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Ba'amar li. So Mar said, I don't know who Mar is. Maybe it was Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda hi. This Mishnah is the view of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. D'tanya achon chayv to Rav Yosef achigabel. Right? So what's the pshat? Just like Rav Yosef Yehuda says that there's no chiyuv when you add the water to the flour, so too, it's going to be mutter to mix the water with the morsan. Fine. So the Gemara is docha, or Abaye is docha, I should say. Doma adka, noka amar Rav Yosef Yehuda asam, elakam after bar gibolhu. Maybe the only time Rav Yosef Yehuda says that there's no chiyuv is by kamach, which is a bar gibol, of a morsan to lav bar gibolhu. Afil Rav Yosef Yehuda moda. Morsan to lav bar gibol. So again, we see over here the same type of svara that Abai said in the first parak, that lav bar gibol is a reason to be more machmir. Now, of course, that leaves you with the problem that the Mishnah is not like either opinion. But the point is that Abai is saying we can't assume by a presumably lishitaso, that we can't assume that the Mishnah would be, that even Rav Yosef Yehuda would be matir putting water with the bran. So the Gemara says also, so we see explicitly that Rav Yosef Yehuda is matir nisinas mayim lemorson. So certainly then, the Mishnah, even though it's not definitive whether the Mishnah first parak is going to be the view of Abaye or Rav Yosef Yehuda, but we seemingly have definitively concluded that the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Hey is the view of Rav Yosef Yehuda. The simple understanding is basically Abaye has been schlugged up. In other words, since presumably this is the same Abaye, the same Shita as in the first parak, Abaye claims that Rav Yosef Yehuda would be moda when something is lav bar gibol hu, that there is no. Abaye claimed that there would be a chiyuv by nesinas mayim for something that's lav bar gibol hu. Again, pashup shot I would assume is that lav bar gibol means the same thing in both places. In which case, the maskana is lo aliba de Abaye, and then if you actually took it that far, then we would have two stam mishnayos, which are like Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, and against Rabbi, which would also probably lead you to want a paskin like Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. But it's going to be a tricky question. On the one hand, we do have a principle of lacha k'Rabbi mechavero, so one would have predicted that in a dispute between Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda and Rabbi you would follow Rebbe, but on the other hand, you have one and possibly two Stam Mishnayos, and again, the simple meaning of the Gemara is two Stam Mishnayos, supporting Rebbe Yosi Yehuda, which might indicate certainly that you paskin like Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Tosfos, though. Sorry, correct. We have. Thank you. I was. Thank you. No. I was. I ahead of myself. Good. Sorry. The Mishnah in the first parak that says that your chai for Shriyas Diyah would be Rabbi. The Mishnah at the end of the Masechta would be Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. And then you'd have a question: how do you paskin? Because you have two Stam Mishnahs against each other, plus. We have, so maybe you would want to pass him like Rebbe, because halach Rebbe Michavero. Thank you. So that might be what you would want to conclude if you read the Gemara Kepshuto, actually. You might have actually said that the halach is more likely to be Rebbe. Tosfos, though, at least opens up the option of not going in that direction. Why? Because Tosfos says on Daf Yud Ches that you have no raya from the Gemara and Daf Kuf Nun Hei. Maybe there's a distinction between the Lav Bar Gibel and Daf Yud Ches and the Lav Bar Gibel and Daf Kuf Nun Hei. Namely, Mursan really is a Bar Gibel. It's much closer to flour. Why do we call it Lav Bar Gibel Hu? Because vis-a-vis flour, it's a Lav Bar Gibel Hu, because Kemach is more of a Bar Gibel. But it's still a Bar Gibel. And therefore, basically, what would come out is when it comes to Dio, therefore what? Therefore, Abai's position on Daf Yud Ches is not slugged up, right? Abai might still be right. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches could be either Tana, because by Dio, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Nesi Nesamayim Yerchayev. So then it would turn out that when it comes to Dio, according to Tosis, Machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Abaye, between Abai and Rav Yosef, whether Rav Yosef Yehuda would be Machayev or pottering. When it comes to Morsan, surely Rav Yosef Yehuda potters with the Nesinus in mind. That's the definitive conclusion of Daf Kuf Nun Hei. And when it comes to Kemach, so then obviously Rav Yosef Yehuda potters the Nesinus in mind. Now that's the introduction, that's a chiluk that Tosfos says. Now Tosfos doesn't actually tell you how you would paskin, but this might push you to tip the scales a little bit, because now we could say both Stam Mishnayos are like Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda, right? Because if you hold of Abaye, remember, Abaye is not in any way schlugged up, according to Tosis's reading. So if you hold like Abaye, then the mission in the first pack is, could be Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda. The mission at the end of the Sachta is, surely Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda. So, even though it's still not clear, because there still is this principle of halachic Rebbe Mechavero, but assuming that the principle of halachic Stam Mishnah is a stronger rule, and we could argue that both Stam Mishnahs are Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, so that could lead one to paskin more like Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. And as we'll see, that is the view of many Rishonim. On the other hand, the Sefer HaTruma, and this is quoted by the Tor, it's Simon Reish Chaf, he paskins like Rebbe, and he holds that Nesina Samayim Yerchayev. Now, what's the logic? So Rabbeinu Baruch says, if you look it up, the Tor doesn't spell out the logic, but you could probably figure it out anyway, that the reason is that since he goes back to what we said before, the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara in Daf Kuf Nun Hamad Beis is that Rav Yosef is correct, and that Abaye is slugged up, and therefore, even though the Stam Mishnah in the last parak is like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, but the Stam Mishnah in the first parak is like Rabbi, so the two Stam Mishnayos sort of cancel out. You can't bring a Raya from Stam Mishnayos, and therefore you go back to the regular rule of Halachic Rabbi Mechadero, and therefore you're going to be Chayev with Nesina Samayim. Yeah.
Had the Rebbe author the Mishnah, Stam, not like himself.
But he's also associating like himself. In other words, he's associating like himself. Now, you're right. Some Rishonim point out that when you have two Stam Mishnayos, you're going to accept the later Stam Mishnah stronger. because you see sort of that reflects more of Rebbe's conclusion. But on the other hand, again, since the Stam Mishnayos are inconclusive, and we have a basic principle in halacha, halach Rebbe Mechavero, so, again, I don't know if reading the Gemara Kepshuto automatically determines that you have to paskin like the Sefer Truma, but certainly if you read the Gemara Kepshuto, Sefer Truma's sack is quite reasonable. Yeah?
What about the Gemara Kufin Vav, that Rebbe, you have Shisisa, like being Moda, you can't change because the Pesach of the community isn't the father of Yossi where you
know? We'll get there. We'll get there.
Like, what is the...
I don't think the Sefer Truma raises that point.
Okay.
So when we get to, we'll talk about Shasisa shortly. There's a third view on this question, and that's the Shitas HaRambam. Shitas HaRambam is very fascinating. They will just read it quickly. This is Perek Ches Halacha Tazayin. Halash ki groger es chayev, amagabel es ha'afar, ha'reiz et told us lush. V'kamash shi'uro. Kidei, sort of interesting that it's only a tolda. Maybe that relates to the centrality of dough. Of course, that's not pashut either, because in Mishkan there wasn't dough, but something to think about. Avakamish yuro, kidei lasos pikur, shall surface off. Fine. Ben gibel be efer, so we'll, there is no gibel for efer, which comes from the first parak. The lo b'chol hagas. So I assume cholagas is like sand at the beach, right? If you, you know, when you playing at the beach and you, you're trying to make sandcastles.
You're miyachid the sand.
Right, so you're miyachid the sand, so there's no muksa issues, now just, and what are you worried about? You're going to be worried about lisha, so at least on the derisa level, there won't be lisha. There's not really integration via the water. The lo be more sun, the lo be kiyote bahen. Vanozin zera shem shemin o zera pishtan, ukiyote bahen b'mayim chayim shem losh. We talked about that. Meneshem is arvim, and nos v'nitlin zet b'zah. Says the Ravid, Amar vam kimidum ani shetah b'zah. Shu savor she'im nasan b'mayim v'gavlan she'eno chayev mishom lisha. Kemo shuchai v'zer shem shem v'zer pishdan v'zeu shibush gadol shelo amu efer eno bar gibol ala she'eno mechoser gibol u'nesinas mayim levada chayev. In other words, the Gemara asks the Ravid is the exact opposite of the Rambam. The Gemara says that something that's lav bar gibol is more likely to be chayev. Not only are you chayev when you're megabelit, but at least according to Abaye in the Gemara, you could even be mechayev for simply doing the sinas mayim. In other words, lav bar gibol doesn't mean it's not shy after the parsh of gibol, it's not shy after the parsh of lisha. Lav bar gibol means that you might, whether you are or not, is in perhaps a machlokas amorayim, but at least you might be, and maybe you are, chayev at an earlier stage. So what in the world is the Rambam talking about? That's the kasha the Ravid asks. So what's the Rambam going to answer? So the Magen Mishnah says that that's not true. Lav bar gibol, according to Rambam, means lav bar gibol. It's not shayach to gibol. It's not shayach to melaches lisha at all. And therefore, if you are megabel, you're not chayev. Okay, maybe it's also midrabanan, like in the case of morsan, gzeira, I guess, atu something that's a bar gibol. But Nesinas Mayim is going to be mutter. Why? Because that's two steps away from the Din D'Oraisa. So that's the view of the Rambam, and he echoes this as well in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Lamed Daled, that Nesinas Mayim L'Morsan is mutter. And that's because Morsan is Lav Bar Gibol. So he's disagreeing with Tosfos, that's for sure. Tosfos told us that Morsan, you're surely chayef for. It's very close to flour, even though it's not quite flour. So the Rambam is definitely not paskening like Abaye either. And still, even without paskening like Abaye, he is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Why? So presumably, that's because of what we said just a couple of minutes ago, that if we have two Stam Mishnayos that, or two Stam Mishnayos that are so seem like differing opinions, so then you're going to follow the latter Stam against the former Stam. And that rule even overpowers the principle of Haracha K'Rabbi Mechavero. And there's an additional factor that the Rif points out on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, that the fact that the Shakel of Tithe, the Gemara, is within Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's view might seem to indicate also that we accept Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. So therefore there isn't this principle of Lav Bar Gibolhu. There is this principle of Lav Bar Gibolhu actually making you potter. Now, one would say, therefore, that this is the question that Yehoshua asked the Chevra last night, which is, what about Dio, or certainly Samim Manim, if we assume not like the Sheet of the Gaonim, but like the Sheet of Rashi and other Rishonim, that we derive the Malachos HaMishkan, Lamtes Malachos from the building of the Mishkan, and therefore, presumably, in the Mishkan, your chayev for the lisha of the Mishkan was with Samim Manim. So clearly, you can't say that Samim Manim are lav bar gibolhu. And like Yeshua noted, we seem to be equating Dio and Samim Manim. So how in the world could you be chayev? So Aaron showed us an interesting Piskei Arid on the chat. And Mechora, what Aaron was getting at was that actually, when it comes to Dio and Samim Manim perhaps as well, there are two steps in the process of making Dio. Initially, you make some type of a thick paste, and that would involve a violation of Lisha, even according to the Rambam. Now, what's interesting is that the Mishnah in the first pack is not talking about the making of the paste, but it's talking about Shriya, which just sounds more like it's the dilution of the paste, which was done at a later, you know, a next step to make the ink ready for writing. Is that where you're getting at?
The Me'iri on Kuf Nun Hei Amud Beis says that whenever the only way to be chayv wash is some type of progression. So Morrison, when we say ain gibel, meaning gibel is not going to help you. So by Morrison,
lav bar gibel, but Morrison's lav bar gibel, but
Morrison is an extreme lav bar gibel that even a sinas maim would be mutter lechatzila because it doesn't do anything.
Right. Okay.
As opposed to Dio, when you have water on it, it still progresses.
Right. So that's a similar chiluk to what Tosfos says. But Yeshua's question wasn't in Tosfos. For Tosfos, it's very simple.
I'm saying
what
in
the
terms
answer.
Of Simone,
yeah, but Yeshua wasn't asking this question. I'll leave it to Tosfos. Tosfos is no problem, because Tosfos thinks that you could be chayv nisur d'oraisa for something that's lav bar gibel hu. The question that Yeshua was asking was within the sheet of the Rambam, right? Or the like.
I think the Me'iri is downplaying what bar gibel means.
Okay. I hear. There's more to talk about here, but I want to just make one last point before we stop for today. And note, so far we have three shitos, that there might be a fourth shita. The Chazon Ish actually argues that this fourth shita is the opinion of Rov Rishonim. This is in Simen Nun Vav, Oz Beis, and Gimel. This is, by the way, not like the view of the Mishnah Berurah. You'll see the Mishnah Berurah throughout the Simen says there are three shitas in Rishonim, right? In each of these various shilas, we have to contend with the Sefer HaTrumah, the Rambam, and Tosfos. But the Chazon Ish says, no, there's a fourth shita. Mishnah Berurah thinks Rov Rishonim are basically in the camp of Tosfos and Ravid and the like. Whereas the Chazon Ish says, no, most Rishonim are none of the three shitos mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah. What does the Chazon Ish hold? The Chazon Ish says that Rov Rishonim, first of all, don't hold like Rabbeinu Baruch. Certainly, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. They also don't hold like the Rambam, because they say that no, that Avada Gibol Maim with Morsan, there's a Chiyuv, like the simple reading of the Gemara, is the Ravid challenges the Rambam. But they also don't necessarily hold of Tosfos in his distinction, and they hold that Morsan would be a we're not going to make that distinction between Morrison and Yo. So therefore, they could paskin like the simple reading of the Gemara, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Bihuda, by Lav Bar Gibul, even though there's no Chi of Benesinas Mayim, right? So we're going to read the Gemara Kipshuta, we're going to reject Abai's answer, and there's never a Chi of Benesinas Mayim called Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, right? Ben Biyo, Ben Morrison. We don't hold that Tosus is Chiluk. Lav Bar Gibul means Lav Bar Gibul in both ways, and in both cases, you're Chayav. We're also not going to accept the Sefer Atuma's conclusion that just because you read the Gemara Kipshuto that you're going to paskin like Rabbi. No, we'll still paskin like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. We're also not going to reject the Rambam's dochak that Lav Bar Gibul is Pater, because again, the simple reading of the Gemara is Lav Bar Gibul is Chayav. If anything, that's more. The Chazon Ish actually has a nice diak from the Gemara. I don't know if we're going to have chance now to get into it, but from the Hemshech of the Gemara in the first parak, in that Shekel Atar by the Afer and the Afar, you see it sounds really like his reading, at least he makes that claim, not like the Rambam's. So what comes out, and I made a little chart for, because I kept on getting confused, so I made the chart for myself, but if anybody wants, nothing fancy, I make enough for everybody. Because based off of recent attendance, I wouldn't need so many copies.
I was here yesterday. So
anyhow, but you could share. But the chart is pretty straightforward in terms of what each view would hold. So just charting out all the different things. If that's helpful, take a look. We are out of time. So next shiur on Monday, Bezer Shem, we're going to start talking about the halachas of Shinuyim. I just want to talk, since there is a nice chaver here today, about the question of switching to Tuesday, Thursday for next Zman, assuming that Rabbi Kolinsky lets me. How many people here have